I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, NPR's political editor Ken Rudin, and syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete. Take it away, Jimmy.
Okay. Hey, fellas. What's up? Welcome to the shop. How are we doing?
Liar.
Hey, what's cracking?
I'm good, hey.
Oh, man, well, you know, President Obama, he gave another speech, his much-anticipated joint session address to Congress Wednesday on health care. Now, is it me, Ken, or is Obama saying the same thing over and over and over and over again?
Well, he said it probably better this week than he's ever said it before. And, of course, his audience is more diffuse than ever before, because you still have a majority of the American people who don't understand what they're proposing, what's in the health care bill, or if we need an overhaul in health care. And you have the Democrats who are fighting. You have the Nancy Pelosi wing of the party saying we need a public option. You have a Max Baucus wing of the party saying there's no way the Senate will pass a public option. And then you have the Republicans who, well, you know what, and you know how they feel.
I think this would be a good point just to play a little bit of the speech for people who didn't have an opportunity to hear it. And, of course, we'll have a link on our website. And here's just a short clip.
Too many have used this as an opportunity to score short-term political points, even if it robs the country of our opportunity to solve a long-term challenge. And out of this blizzard of charges and countercharges, confusion has reigned. Well, the time for bickering is over. The time for games has passed. Now is the season for action. Now is when we must bring the best ideas of both parties together and show the American people that we can still do what we were sent here to do. Now is the time to deliver on health care.
You know, the question I have for Ken is that, you know, the polls all show that people realize there's a problem and they say that they want a change, but then clearly, there has to be the perspective on the part of the Republican Party that they're not going to pay a price for stalling this legislation. They haven't presented alternate bills. So the question is, yes, it's true that there's this energy built up around it, but does anybody really pay a political price for not passing a bill?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, you think that if you go back to 1993, when Bill Clinton had apparently this momentum for health care behind him, and the Republicans and the insurance company blocked it, you think, well, the Republican Party would have paid a price. As it turned out, the Republican Party won big in 1994. It was the Democrats who paid the price, not only because of health care, but because of taxes, gays in the military, and all that. But nobody paid a price for blocking health care back then. I agree, though. I think it is different. I think people realize that the prices just going up exorbitantly. More and more people are uninsured, left without insurance. Look, one thing I want to point out is that I think the Republicans are aware of that criticism. And if you saw the speech, a lot of them would hold up their so-called Republican plan because they've been accused of having no alternative. Republicans say, look, we do have an alternative. And a lot of it has to do with medical malpractice and lower costs and things like that.
Which the president addressed this week. Can I ask Ruben the same question, though? Because one of the things that I've been interested in is just, you know, looking at the blogs and discussion formats around this. And so I just wanted to ask you the same question I asked Ken is, do you think it is true the polls show there seems to be a lot of energy around this and this was a key campaign issue? Do you think that political leaders will pay a price if they don't pass a bill, and who?
Yeah, I think the Democrats are going to pay a price, but not Republicans. It'll be sort of a repeat of the last time around. I mean, it sort of makes sense. You know, the parallel with 92 Clinton was when you control the levers of power, then you're the one who gets blamed when you can't get something done. It just makes sense. You don't blame the folks who are in the minority. All those years when Bush was in the White House and the Congress was in Republican hands, you don't turn around and blame the minority Democrats. It just makes sense that just like Republicans got zapped over immigration because they couldn't get that done when they were in power, likewise, here the blame will fall to the Democrats. But the polling on health care is all over the map, you know, depending on how you ask the question. The American people send these mixed messages about how I don't want you messing with the coverage I have now or the coverage relationship between me and my doctor. And the most recent poll that I think the Obama administration is really worried about is that his negatives on health care are really bad. 52% in a recent AP poll, 52% of Americans think that Obama has handled the health care issue horribly. And there are various reasons for that. It's not all about Republicans. It's about trying to corral all those Democrats who are doing their president wrong on this issue. It's really hard to be the party of the liberal Democrat and the conservative Democrat, and Obama's trying to do it, but he's not pulling it off.
Well, you know, guys, this is Arsalan. In Chicago, there's a political saying, we won't throw the first punch, but we will throw the last one. And we saw President Obama throw that last punch in his congressional speech. You know, not only dealing with the political ramifications, but also the nuts and bolts of what's going on. To both Ken and Rubin's points, I think an important thing to keep in mind is that the 2010 midterm elections. If President Obama and the Democrats are able to get something passed before the 2010 midterm elections, the Republicans in Congress and in the Senate are going to be running for their political lives. They have a complete political vested interest in making sure that no significant healthcare reform gets passed, because every flyer, every advertisement for every Democratic candidate will tout that fact. And so, you know, we have to call out the political hackery for what it is. And it could not have been better symbolized than Congressman Joe, my pre-existing condition is Tourette's syndrome, Wilson from South Carolina, who really exemplified, you know, the whole nutty town hall phenomenon, the birthers movement, basically this rabid right wing that is just antithetically opposed to anything that a Democratic president would try to get passed.
Let me just explain what Arsalan is talking about for those who don't know, that Congressman Wilson...
He lunched out.
Is that what he would say? He lunched out.
It was political Tourette's.
Well, let's play the clip for those who aren't clear on what it is that we're talking about. There's a point at which the president, addressing what he said were falsehoods being disseminated about his health care ideas. Let's play the clip.
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally. Not true.
Wow.
It's like British Parliament over there. My goodness. Yeah.
But Ruben, if we did that for the 8 years that we had George W. Bush telling us about weapons of mass destruction,
absolutely,
the entire Congress would be singing Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
We just don't do that.
And a lot of Democrats did say Liar, Liar, and there were a lot of boos and hiss when George W. Bush would address a joint session of Congress as well. And just in fairness to Joe Wilson, just prior to this, Barack Obama was saying that there are a lot of lies out there about that the opposition is spreading. And so, so Joe Wilson's "you lie" was in response to Barack Obama saying there were lies.
Yeah, but
there's
a difference between saying that there are falsehoods being disseminated and personally attacking someone as a liar.
This is nonsense. This is Ruben. This is a sideshow. The fact, the issue at hand is, does healthcare reform, as is on the books now, the various bills, does it cover illegal immigrants or not? And that's the issue. This whole business of a guy in the audience being rude and showing no class and speaking out of turn like that, that is just what we focus in on because we don't want to talk about this more difficult, thorny issue of whether or not illegal immigrants are going to get coverage under this health care reform bill. And I've written a column about this. Obama is absolutely right in the sense that it is a falsehood that illegal immigrants are going to get coverage. But he needs to understand where the Republicans are coming from. The Democrats in the Congress did their best to take out any provision that would bar illegal immigrants from that coverage. And so that's what made the Republicans very suspicious. So, you know, to be fair, the Republicans who fear that illegal immigrants will get coverage have a half a leg to stand on.
You know, I take your point. Can I just say this, Ruben? Ruben and I have had this conversation before. I completely take your point on the issue around whether illegal immigrants are covered or not. But when people start identifying people something as a sideshow, why is it that whenever we talk about rules of discussion, of civility, of public discourse, then that is a sideshow? If there are not rules for public discourse, I don't understand how you have civil discussion. And it just seems to me that people can appropriately raise questions of the way we conduct ourselves in public. In the same way that we get to talk about whether, you know, David Letterman was out of bounds when he made certain comments about Sarah Palin's children, and that when people talk about the way, the way conversations ensue in this, society, particularly given the kind of discourse which is regularly promoted on some of our media outlets, that is the pushback I would offer to you.
Here's the answer to the question. Assuming it's a real question, not a rhetorical one.
No,
here's the answer.
Question.
This guy is a Mickey Mouse congressman from one district in South Carolina versus the president of the United States. If this were George Bush and he got heckled by a Mickey Mouse Democratic congressman, I'd say the same exact thing. Rather than get hooked up on the sideshow of what that Democrat congressman had said, I'd want to know about the yellow cake claim in the president's speech. The issue that really matters is whether or not Obama is right or Wilson is right on the illegal immigration question. And I'm saying that Obama is more right than that. But I think there's a chorus of people out there who support Barack Obama, who want to make any kind of criticism about him, about rudeness or about, you know, somehow a pox on the Republicans. That doesn't get us anywhere. The fact is, if he wins the argument on the merits, let's have the argument on the merits.
And I think another important point from the speech last night was the letter that President Obama read from the late Senator Ted Kennedy, talking about how healthcare reform speaks to the heart of our moral character of our country. You know, that this essentially is part of the foundation for the future of social justice in America. With 47 million Americans who are uninsured, you know, this is something that strikes to the moral character of America and will speak not just, you know, in terms of economics and black and white, but in terms of who we are as a country moving forward.
Well, it's not so much about the lack of civility. And I think when there are emotional issues, you can get emotional, and that's fine. But I think that the conversation, the tone has changed, and it's been changed with a lot of misinformation out there, outright false information, and it's become part of the dialogue that even infects members of Congress.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin, and we're having our weekly visit to the barber shop with Jimmy Israel, Arsalan Iftikhar, Ken Rudin, and Ruben Navarrete. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. And for what it's worth, Wilson did give a quick apology that Barack Obama accepted, calling it unequivocal and quick. So there you go. If Obama can squash it, then you know, we can all move on, right?
But before we move on, we should know that Rob Miller, who's going to be the Democratic nominee against Joe Wilson, raised $200,000 in the hours since Joe Wilson's remarks.
In the hour?
In the hours.
Hours.
Hours since, yeah, overnight.
Jimmy?
Yes, ma'am.
Help us out.
All right, well, in other news, comedian and talk show host Ellen DeGeneres has a day job now and a night job. She's been officially named the fourth judge of American Idol, replacing Paula Abdul. Now, she's not going to be there during the audition phase, but she will be there toward the end when they're just the performances as contestants vie for a chance to be the new American Idol. A-Train, you know, if I remember correctly, I don't know that Ellen is musical in any way, shape, or form. I mean, she can dance okay, but, you know, so can Snoopy. Should Snoopy be an American Idol judge?
No, but I think Ellen DeGeneres will be a great one. I think most recently, some of us remember her variety show that she had on TBS where she brought people that did American Idol kind of stuff. And I've always found her to be a class act. I like her little funny self-deprecating humor. And I think she'll be a good addition to the crew.
Ruben? Go ahead.
There's always been this tension in American Idol between what the judges want. In other words, the judges, you know, give a verdict on a given singer, right? But the real power lies with the voters. And occasionally, you'll see someone go along, despite the fact that the judges don't like them, or the judges will pick somebody that the voters don't like. And so, ultimately, there's that tension. And Ellen probably has as much right as anybody else, because she was part of that voting crowd. She made a joke about this once she got the gig, saying, I won't have to send in my vote by text anymore.
You know what? Before we leave, Michelle, cue the music.
I think we can do that.
All right.
Yeah.
We got to talk about it. We can't leave without mentioning the 2009 NFL season. It's here. And yes, the Steelers and the Titans played last night. But come Sunday, lots of men and women will be skipping church. And they're going to just sit there and grab a seat on the couch. A-Train,
yeah.
Give us the over and under.
Man, I don't know. I mean, you know, Tom Brady's back after his injury-riddled last season. I think he still is the Roger Federer, the Tiger Woods of the NFL. I think he's going to lead the Patriots in the AFC. I think in the NFC, I think I like Donovan McNabb and Michael Vick in Philadelphia. I think it's going to be a New England over Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I think, I'm a big Giants fan, and I think it's terrible how Plaxico Burress shot himself in the thigh. Yeah. I mean, in the foot. But you know, you have a new cast of characters, and you have Eli Manning with a big contract, but you have our defensive players back, and Derek Jeter's going to break Lou Gehrig's record, so I hope the Yankees go all the way. Wait, I'm a little confused here. Wait a second. But I have a newspaper here from 2045. Ready? Brett Favre, comeback.
Nice. I'll put in a word for my Oakland Raiders, baby. Hope springs eternal. One more time.
Of course, you know, Brady Quinn is starting here in C-Town, and there's a lot of buzz about that. So we'll just have to count down till he gets hurt.
Well, you know, we cannot let you go without mentioning that this is the 100th episode of The Barbershop. Gentlemen.
Indeed. Indeed.
Wow.
Gentlemen,
no.
thank you all so much.
That's why I'm doing this episode naked.
Help, Jimmy.
And with that, it's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for coming to this 100th episode of The Shop. And I had to pass it over to the lady of the house, Michelle Martin.
Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com. He's also a presidential fellow at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, and he joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Ruben Navarrete is a syndicated columnist. He joined us from KOGO in San Diego. Arsalan Iftikhar is the founder of TheMuslimGuy.com and a civil rights attorney. And Ken Rudin is NPR's political editor. And they were both here in our Washington, D.C. studio. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Peace.
Happy 100.
Thank you.
Yep.